I'm Sylvia Burgos Toffness, and this is Deep Roots Radio. Every week, my guests help us connect the dots between what we eat and how it's grown, because every single food dollar we spend either protects or degrades the environment, produces foods with high nutrition or empty calories, and either helps pay a fair wage or keeps farm workers among the working poor. We get to make that choice every time we push a cart through the grocery store, visit the farmer's market, and eat at a restaurant. I hope you enjoy this interview.
I've used honey, I would guess, almost all of my life. It was used in my cereal, especially my oatmeal. And just recently, I started using honey in my tea. My goodness, what a welcome change from sugar. But it wasn't until, boy, it feels like yesterday, that I learned that honey isn't only a sweetener, and certainly it's something that a lot of people do use to make the medicine go down. It's medicine in and of itself. And some of this information that I've just gleaned came from a book that I am so glad to share with you. It's called Sweet Remedies, Healing Herbal Honeys. And we're so fortunate to have on Deep Roots Radio today the author, Dawn Combs, who's not only wrote this, but two other books, one called Healing Local and the other one having to do with healthy babies. Dawn, thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you. Now, Dawn, you are an author, an ethnobotanist, and an herbalist, as well as a functional food expert. How did you get started in sustainable beekeeping?
Well, I used to work in the corporate world, and I decided that I wanted to start a family. And so I made a plan with my husband that I was going to, let's just start a little beekeeping side gig, and that would keep me busy while I raised our kids at home. And then I was diagnosed as infertile, and they told me that I wasn't going to have children. So that while it started the beekeeping, it greatly changed the focus of my beekeeping.
Mm. Wow. So you were diagnosed as infertile, you mentioned.
Yeah. So I was actually kicked out of the medical system eventually, as there was nothing anybody could do for me. I was unfixable, and that really started. I was already by degree an ethnobotanist, but I was studying to become an herbalist, and I was also really interested in bees, and it started me down a path of trying to really rebalance my body and understand what that meant. I did wind up doing that. I created my own protocol, and that's what my first book is about. But I went on to have two children with my husband at home, and I have gone on to share that with a lot of other people.
Wow, that is quite the amazing story. I don't know if I mentioned this to you, Dawn, in our back and forth in email, but I'm deep into my herbal studies as well. And it is amazing to learn just how much the medicines that are around us in our native plants, how much that they can help us with acute and chronic situations. So sustainable beekeeping and this book, Sweet Remedies, how is it that people can use honey for whatever might ail them? I mean, how would you suggest an approach?
So honey is it's a known chemical substance, and you mentioned more sort of rediscovering honey when you first started off talking here. I think a lot of people take honey for granted. They just see it as a sweetener. And because I was raising honey, and I was also learning how to use food to rebalance the body, it just sort of happened to me that I began to use honey in a deeper way. Really, honey is, it can be a medium. It isn't really appropriate to look at it as a sugar replacement because it is a whole sugar. It is very healthy, but a lot of times people want to cook with it because they think they're going to replace something that they've been told is bad for them with something that's good. And if you heat honey, it becomes toxic. So it's much more than just losing the beneficial compounds or the beneficial living enzymes. You actually turn it into something that is a negative for your body. So the first thing I would say is if you're going to use honey for health, don't heat it.
Boy, that was really an eye-opener for me, going through your book and getting that advice. It really immediately... for me, how I think about using honey.
It upsets a lot of people. I'm usually kind of the bummer in the room at the party because the first thing people want to say, but I make bread with honey. And I'm like, well, you can do that. It won't kill you outright, but it's really not good for you, and it's not an appropriate use of the honey. Really, honey used to be recognized for the precious commodity that it is and what it takes in bee life to gather the amount of honey that we would use. It culturally, so that's really what I did with this book, is I started to chase both the science and the cultural precedents for how we use honey and how we have used honey. Culturally, around the world, we've used honey mainly for medicine, to be really honest. It was a sweetener here and there, but mainly people would have put it more in their medicine chest than they would have put it in their pantry.
Wow. So tell me a little bit about that. Let's go back in history. How long have people been using honey as a medicinal?
For centuries. Really, since humans have interacted with bees, honey was prized as this medicinal compound. There are, if you look at throughout traditional Chinese medicine, throughout the Vedas, in Ayurveda, and other traditions around the world, you will see that the cataloging of the usage of honey as medicine and Western medicine. You'll see it with Hippocrates and that whole tradition coming up. They used primarily honey and blends of honey as medicines. There was a lot more understanding of trying to balance the body with real food. Of course, they didn't have, for most of our history, human history, we haven't had sort of imitation food. I think a lot of those folks would just shake their heads in disbelief as to what people consume these days. But using honey as a medicine, there was understanding that it alone as a substance has healing qualities. What I discovered was obviously through my herbal studies that herbs have phytochemicals within them that have been recognized throughout human history as beneficial. But what I found most fascinating was that cultures saw a synergy that was happening when honey and herbs were put together. Mm. So if you look across Africa, you'll see they used honey alone for some health issues, and they used herbs alone for some health issues. But then there were specific things that they addressed with a blend of honey and herbs, and that culture after culture after culture has recognized that there is something different when you put the two together.
Ah, okay. The synergy. So 1 + 1 is a whole lot more than 2.
A whole lot more. Yeah, when it comes to honey, because the body recognizes the natural sugars in honey, it walks those beneficial compounds, the nutrition, and the deeper compounds that we have come to recognize more and more, it walks those compounds directly into our cells. And so the recognition across cultures is that combining honey and herbs together allows you to reach deeper seated imbalances than you could with one or the other on their own. And also it allows you to use a lot less of the therapeutic. And in this case, I use a lot of the plants, but there are ramifications here for even working with pharmaceuticals. So anything that you are embedding into honey, studies that I was digging up are supporting this cultural practice and recognizing that the honey is amplifying what it is mixed with.
All right. Now, does it matter what kind of honey you use?
It doesn't. Honey, that we hear a lot of folks get real dogmatic about local honey, and definitely local raw honey is absolutely one of the best things that you can get. But raw honey across the board is going to be fine. So if you're in, I'm in Ohio, and if I were to buy some North Carolina local honey, it's not that that honey isn't going to be beneficial. It's certainly not going to be negative to me. It just won't, it won't allow me to use it for certain therapeutics like allergies. Allergies, you would need it local.
Got it. But you mentioned raw honey. That seems to be a big distinction.
Yeah.
What raw honey, and how is it different from some of the things that we tend to find in the grocery store? So, and why should we be looking for raw honey?
Unfortunately, honey falls prey to the same thing. You know, all of us have to be label readers these days and really ask questions. Honey has a lot of words on the front that you want to look for: unprocessed, unfiltered. There are a lot of gray areas when it comes to how much honey is heated. So a fully pasteurized honey is something that we don't want to put in our bodies. And I think that's common knowledge, even if people don't understand that it's a toxin. But what you'll see is a grocery store honey often will be heat filtered, or it might have been heated as it was processed. It just wasn't pasteurized. There are a lot of beekeepers that are comfortable with heating honey just below pasteurization. So it comes down to knowing who raised your honey and who processed it and what their standards are. We all draw our lines in different places, and some things you may accept something different than what I would accept in my family, and that's okay. That's where asking your beekeeper what their processes are, and before that even, is being educated as to what is entailed in processing honey.
Great. Yeah. Believe me, I picked up some of this information from your book and then went back into some of my other herbalism books just to, I guess, appreciate just how much work you've done in your research, especially around this question of how much you heat honey, because some people feel much more comfortable looking at a product and saying, and seeing that it says pasteurized, and for some reason that makes them feel, oh, this must be safe.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And like I said, we all draw our lines differently. I have definite opinions about it, about a lot of foods that we pasteurize and choose to go the other direction. But definitely some people, that's what they're looking for.
Yeah. And so that's why it was really, really good to see the science in your book that supports this advice that you should not heat your honey, but rather use it as a very, very precious medicinal helper. So what kinds of things can you use honey in that then can be used as a tonic or as a remedy?
Well, first I would clarify, because the very first question I always get is, oh, no, I can't put it in my hot tea. Yes, you can. You want to be careful that it's not going to scald the inside of your mouth. There are different understandings of the heat that honey can take, but it's actually written in the Vedas in Asia. We do get the temperature level of 107. So you can use honey. You can drizzle it over something that you took out of the oven. You can put it in hot tea. Those are all fine. I love to use honey as a medium by making an oxymel, or I go through each of these in the book on how to make each individual type of supplement. But an oxymel, you can infuse honey. I'm known for making what are called electuaries, where I blend the honey and the herb together. You can ferment honey on purpose. You can make tinctures. There are a lot of different ways to use honey in your medicinal remedies that maybe you haven't thought of before.
You know, one of the things that I made, started making immediately after reading your book, and then also going through I'm reading through a book by the herbalist Paul Bergner on garlic. Mm-hmm. And I've made garlic honey, which is a situation where you take cloves of garlic, you chop them up fine, you put them in a small jar, and you add an equal volume of honey to it. Let those mellow for a few days, and then begin to take a spoonful at a time. And as this jar continues to mellow on your kitchen counter, because it's safe there to do that, the honey becomes thinner and thinner. And I'll tell you, I never thought I could really love something so much. It is absolutely delicious.
Yeah, it's hard to stop at just one clove. It's hard to...
Yes,
and
it is.
That's where you tell somebody something like that that you create, you tell somebody the therapeutic dose. Now, you only need one clove of this, but try and stop there.
Oh, my gosh. It is so good. Yeah. Now, oxymels are a really interesting remedy in that you use honey and vinegar and either your herb or your combination of herbs. And how do people tend to use oxymels?
One of the classic ones that people would recognize would be fire cider. Fire cider is an oxymel. Oh, oxymels, depending on which direction you take them, fire cider is a savory one. So you could use a fire cider to drizzle over. You could make a salad dressing out of it. You could marinate, like add a wing sauce after you cooked your wings. I just shoot it.
Yes.
But you don't have to go a savory direction. You can also go sweet. And so oxymel can really take on a lot of, they can take on almost a shrub sort of experience. You could use them as bases for drinks. You could make salad dressings that go on the sweet side instead of the savory. I love, and what I was trying to convey in the way that I wrote Sweet Remedies is I hate to see people always think about natural remedies as medicine. We get kind of trapped in that Western medicine idea that everything has to be medicine, and something like an oxymel that you can really twist and go whatever direction, it's food. It's food that's delivering health and nutrition and balancing as many different ways as you can. So that's why I have recipes for different foods to use the different honey blends that I show you how to make.
Boy, that is a great piece of advice. Yeah, working with herbs is not about developing a tincture and taking a capsule or creating a pill. It's about looking at all of these terrific plants all around us and understanding them as food.
Yeah, because if we're consuming things that are balancing us and nourishing us on the day-to-day, we have much less cause to pull over to the side and address an acute problem, something where we've gotten ill. These things can help us there, but as you go through a lifestyle change where this becomes more and more incorporated, the ideal would be that you have to pull over to the side less and less. You're just living your life and you're vibrant and you're contributing to your community and you're taking care of your family and you feel wonderful.
Yes. Yeah, that's so true. So one of my favorite herbs, and I say it's a favorite because I've got it growing everywhere on my farm, is nettles, stinging nettles.
Yes.
Now, is there any way of using stinging nettles and honey together?
Absolutely. Yeah. So in the first part of Sweet Remedies, I tell about how to make the different honey remedies, because honey itself is a chemical, a known chemical substance. So it only has the ability to pull into itself those things that are water soluble. As long as it's just honey alone, we aren't going to pull anything else. With a nettle, you could do a simple infused honey where the honey remains raw, and by the action of the way that honey works, it will pull the water-soluble chemicals out of nettle. So nettle is easy to put into honey. You could tincture it. You could ferment it. You could make an oxymel with it. Nettle would be a great example of kind of all the way across the board. Something like an echinacea, if I wanted to put that in there, I couldn't do an infused honey that would necessarily contain the deeper concentrations of the deeper compounds that I would use for immune health, because they're too heavy, so to speak, and they need more concentrated alcohol to pull out. So mm-hmm. that would be why we would want to combine honey and alcohol for something like that. And I felt it was really important to explain to people how that honey, it isn't magical. It does have known capacities, and we can harness those with some of our simple plants. But if we want to make it a medicinal with a known compound isolated, we need to understand the medium that we're working in.
Right. And
so
I think that's
I do want the powdered nettle, where I just stir the nettle in, and that's one of the recipes in my book, and I continue to make it on our farm. You would eat the nettle along with the honey, because everything then is there, and I don't have to worry about what I'm isolating.
Got it. And that's such good advice. The herbal approach to wellness is not about trying to substitute a so-called natural substance for a pharmaceutical. It's not the way it works.
Right.
The natural world around us can offer us so many things, as you so well said, Dawn, that can be in our food, in our beverages, on our salad dressings, and not just take a look at things as a natural remedy or a medicine.
Yeah, it's a different mindset.
It is a different mindset, and it's so much fun that your book really is such an approachable way of getting into taking a look at both honey and herbs differently, holistically, so that we can incorporate them into our lives. So we're talking here with Dawn Combs, the author of Sweet Remedies, Healing Herbal Honeys. And now, Dawn, how long have you been a sustainable beekeeper?
I think we got our first hive in probably 2004, so about 20 years.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much for being with us today on Deep Roots Radio. And, you know, if your time allows, I'm hoping that maybe you'll join us again and focus on your two other books. So that we can
love that.
Oh, great. So that we can get your perspective there as well. Well, Dawn, if people want to find out more about your books and about your products, where can they go?
So it's sort of split. I'm schizophrenic out there in the world. They can go to dawncombs.com for all of the herbal information in my books and all that. and they can go to sodafarm.com, S-O-D-A-F-A-R-M, for all of the products that I do with my family. On social media, you can go to Dawn Combs Really, again, for all of the herbal health side, or Drink Soda Farm for our products.
Go to my website, herbalsafari.com, to listen to previous podcasts or download them to listen at your leisure, and to find out about Discovery Herb Walks. Learn about what's growing in your own backyard, and also to attend some of my remedy-making classes. Empower yourself on your wellness journey.